Joshua 7:16 through Joshua 9:2. So Joshua got up early in the morning and brought Israel forward by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was selected. So he brought the family of Judah forward, and he selected the family of the Zerahites. Then he brought the family of the Zerahites forward man by man, and Zabdi was selected. And he brought his household forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was selected. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful robe from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I wanted them and I took them. And behold, they are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath it. So they took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel, and they laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought disaster on us? The Lord will bring disaster on you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. Then they erected over him a large heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have handed over to you the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its kings just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoils and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose up with all the people of war to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. He commanded them, saying, "See, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out to meet us, as they did the first time, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have lured them away from the city, for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us, just as they did the first time.' So we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will hand it over to you. Then it will be, when you have seized the city, that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it in accordance with the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." So Joshua sent them away, and they went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent that night among the people. Now Joshua got up early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. Then all the people of war who were with him went up and approached, and arrived in front of the city, and they camped on the north side of Ai, and there was a valley between him and Ai. Then he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city, and its rear guard on the west side of the city. And Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley. And it came about, when the king of Ai saw them, that the men of the city hurried and got up early, and went out to meet Israel in battle, he and all his people, at the appointed place before the desert plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Then Joshua and all Israel pretended to be defeated before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. So not a man was left in Ai or Bethel, but they had all gone out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Reach out with the sword that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will hand it over to you." So Joshua reached out with the sword that was in his hand toward the city. Then the men in the ambush rose quickly from their place. And when he had reached out with his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. And they quickly set the city on fire. When the men of Ai turned back and looked, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to the sky, and they had no place to flee this way or that way. For the people who had been fleeing to the wilderness turned against the pursuers. When Joshua and all Israel saw that the men in ambush had captured the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and killed the men of Ai. The others came out from the city to confront them, so that they were trapped in the midst of Israel, but some on this side and some on that side. And they killed them, until there was not one left who escaped or survived. But they captured the king of Ai alive, and brought him to Joshua. Now, when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they had pursued them, and all of them had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel returned to Ai, and struck it with the edge of the sword. So all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he reached out with the sword until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoils of that city, and plunder for themselves, in accordance with the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai, and made it a refuse heap forever, a desolation until this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. But at sunset Joshua gave the command, and they took his body down from the tree, and threw it at the entrance of the city gate, and erected over it a large heap of stones that stands to this day. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, on which no one had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written, in the presence of the sons of Israel. And all Israel, with their elders, officers, and their judges, were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at first to bless the people Israel. Then, afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to everything that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Now it came about, when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country, the lowland, and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard about it, that they met together with one purpose, to fight with Joshua and with Israel. Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry, and began to pick the heads of grain to eat. Now when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple violate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion rather than sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might bring charges against him. But he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable, then, is a person than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to tell who he was. This happened so that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet would be fulfilled: "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul delights, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bent reed he will not break off, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish, until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." Then a demon-possessed man, who was blind and unable to speak, was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the man who was unable to speak talked and could see. And all the crowds were amazed and were saying, "This man cannot be the son of David, can he?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he has become divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebul I cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property, unless he first ties up the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either assume the tree to be good, as well as its fruit good, or assume the tree to be bad, as well as its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruits. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things. For I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, and so no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment, and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now, when the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they come in and live there, and the last condition of that person becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus replied to the one who was telling him and said, Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And extending his hand toward his disciples, he said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Colossians 4. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to proclaim it. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him is Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of our own. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas's cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your own, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, always striving earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you, and those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and Demas does as well. Greet the brothers and sisters who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, at the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, so that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Proverbs 5:1-14. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, so that you may maintain discretion, and your lips may comply with knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Otherwise you will give your vigor to others, and your years to the cruel one, and strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned possessions will go to the house of a foreigner, and you will groan in the end, when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I hated instruction, and my heart disdainfully rejected rebuke. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ear to my instructors. I was almost in total ruin, in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, and God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people, and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come, let's wipe them out as a nation, so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. For they have conspired together with one mind. They make a covenant against you. The tents of the Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the river of Kishon, who were destroyed at En-Dor, who became like dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their leaders like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let's possess for ourselves the pastures of God. My God, make them like the whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your heavy gale, and terrify them with your storm, and fill their faces with dishonor, so that they will seek your name, Lord. May they be ashamed and dismayed forever, and may they be humiliated and perish, so that they will know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.